This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. On June 15, 1987, a group of KKK members staged a march and membership rally in the heart of Chapel Hill. Michael Galinsky had just graduated from high school, and when he heard the news that Klansmen were going to be marching, he grabbed his camera and headed out to the scene, where he spent the afternoon taking hundreds of pictures and then forgot about them until just recently. He joins me now to talk about it all. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you took these pictures more than 25 years ago and then happened upon them again. What happened?
Well, right after that, I went to college in New York, and recently I moved back. So there's boxes of stuff in the closet. And one of the things I found was a couple of photos from that day. I printed maybe one or two photos. I didn't really have access to a dark room. But I found it was a couple rolls. So it's not hundreds. It's about 50 or 60 pictures I shot. And so I actually have an iPhone scanner. So I started scanning them. And it was really interesting to me to see that I'd kind of done things like shoot establishing shots and then tight shots and things like that. And so then I started putting them together, and I put them on Facebook, and a lot of people were interested.
So back in 1987, you grew up in North Carolina. You were 18 years old. I mean, did you even know that the Klan kind of existed here?
You know, I don't really think I had a sense that it was something that was a present day issue. And, you know, especially at that time, Chapel Hill felt like the place that was like an exhibit in the zoo, as Jesse Helms liked to say. They should just put a fence around it and call it the zoo. So it felt very separate from the rest of the state. So even if it felt like maybe there were places where the Klan existed, it didn't feel like it was in Chapel Hill.
Well, let's play a clip from the college radio station at UNC Chapel Hill, WXYC, talking about that day.
And why do you think they chose to march through Chapel Hill?
Probably to get people riled up and get some attention.
I just wanted to come out and, you know, just see what they were up to and, you know, be part of the struggle for the, you know, the Klan in North Carolina. And, you know, I just don't want to, you know, nobody in Chapel Hill.
Do you think most people in Chapel Hill, black and white, disagree with the Klan?
Well, you know, I think, you know, black, white, Indian, Puerto Rican, Jewish, all of them, man, they don't like the Klan.
And the route that they chose to take, they marched in Durham and in Chapel Hill, but this was about as central Chapel Hill as you can get, the route that they took,
right,
near Rosemary. How many people were actually marching?
I think people put the number at like 40 or 50, something like that. But when you say that, what it makes me think is there's one picture that everybody has noticed, but they're marching right past Sutton's, which just feels so, it makes it feel really timeless because it still looks the same.
This is the pharmacy that's still there on Franklin Street.
Yeah. And it's been there forever. It kind of defines what that place, it defines both the past and the present in a weird way. So to have them walking past makes it feel very timeless. It could, and, you know, the Rams Plaza building is there. It just, the clothing barely makes it seem like it's the past, but it doesn't actually seem that past.
And, you know, there's 40 or 60 actual Klansmen marching, but then in your pictures you see that there are hundreds and hundreds of people watching these 40 people walk down the street. I mean, the crowd was great who was watching this thing.
Right, and I think, as you can kind of hear from the radio clip, I think basically the people were there almost as silent witnesses. There wasn't a lot of screaming at them or yelling at them. It was really more of just like, really? It was, people were just kind of like, it was kind of like an exhibit. And so to the degree that there was this call to not, to give them empty streets, in some ways that was half recognized, I think, because people did go, they felt like they needed to see it, but they didn't, I don't remember too much yelling. There was a lot of people holding up signs, but not, you can even see it in the pictures. There's not many people yelling at them or anything like that.
And there are many pictures that you took of the march and people mm-hmm. marching by, but there are also pictures that you took close up of Klansmen about to march. Or what was that like, trying to approach and take a picture? Were they happy to have you photograph them? Were they trying to get you away? Were you nervous?
I didn't feel nervous, and I was actually shooting with not a long telephoto lens, so I was, you know, not super close to them. And I don't think they were super cognizant of the people around them. But there was one picture that did really freak me out, which was, you know, there's something in the audio which says, no, you know, this is just about, it's not about hate. It's about empowerment of, you know, white people. But at the same time, they have there's a noose hanging from somebody's rearview mirror. And that's just really that there's a discordance there. Like you can't have that and say this other thing. It was weird to see that. And it's weird to see it in a photograph, to think that someone, it just is very, that was the strangest moment for me. The other strange thing, or the hard thing to look at, is kind of seeing older people with young kids that they brought there. And so it just becomes this kind of thing where it's like, that must have been very strange for those people.
And you were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, this could have been because some of the buildings are the same today on Franklin Street. It could have been yesterday. But it's this odd thing because in some ways also when you see your pictures and these men walking down the street in these white hoods and you see a man walking down in a black hood who you imagine might be in charge, some wizard of sort, it looks like it could be 1930.
It totally looks
timeless. This is timeless in some sense.
And I think one of the things about that is that they are black and white photos. And I've actually saw, after I posted, other people shared kind of other snapshots of color. And it, in fact, it seems much more mundane. Like, in fact, they're not black robes. They're red. And they just looks almost more comical in a way. And something about black and white gives things a certain gravity. So I think that's part of it. But they also make things seem timeless. So color definitely reads as time missed.
What is your favorite of the pictures so far?
There was one guy with medium length, long blonde hair that I ended up taking a bunch of photographs as he got ready. And a couple of those are interesting to me. There's also one that I had never, I hadn't actually seen most of these before because I printed maybe two or three of them and I had a contact sheet that I couldn't really see very well. But there's one of a guy driving away, probably like in a Capri Classic, and he's not giving me the finger, but it's kind of like almost giving me the finger, and he's looking directly at me, and I just think it's a really nice, strong image that kind of gives a sense of what that day felt like. It wasn't incredibly antagonistic, but it wasn't a friendly moment.
I imagine that picture that you're speaking about with the man who has the media, you know, blonde hair down to his shoulders. This is a guy who was probably very close in age to you.
Yeah, probably about exactly the same age. He could have gone to my high school.
So what is your plan now that you've developed them? Is that it? Or what next? What happens when you, 25 years later, come across something like this?
Well, I did put them up on Facebook, and somebody shared sound, which is the sound that you heard. And I just thought it was really great, and somehow adding the two of them together and making a little short film elevated both of them a great deal. So I made a little short film that I'm trying to figure out what to do with. I would also love to make a book that includes those photographs, includes other people's photographs on the day, and other people's remembrances as well. Maybe people wrote things down at the time. They go back and they look at their journals. And one of the reasons actually I was really interested in doing this is I'm hoping that there's people who are listening who were there that day and who took other pictures and who possibly wrote something or wanted to say something about that time versus this time. Even perhaps people who marched, who maybe feel a little bit differently about it now or feel just as strongly and want to have something to say about it. I really have this idea of this kind of a book project that compiles all those things.
Well, June 15th, 1987... if you were there, get in touch with Michael Galinsky. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You can see some of Michael Galinsky's photographs of the KKK March in Chapel Hill on our website, wunc.org. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.